The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Overnight, Israeli ground forces moved into southern Lebanon, marking a significant escalation in the conflict. It follows weeks of exchanges of strikes between Israel and Hezbollah, including a recent attack that killed the militant group's longtime leader, Hassan Nasrallah. In Lebanon, thousands are fleeing, and UNICEF says the country is facing the prospect of a humanitarian catastrophe. UNICEF spokesperson Etty Higgins is in Beirut and joins us now. Etty, good morning.
Good morning, Pat, from Beirut. I can tell you that sadly, unfortunately, the situation is rapidly escalating and getting much worse here in the country this morning.
Now, people are not alone fleeing from the Bekaa Valley and other parts of southern Lebanon. Even within Beirut, people are scared that they will be bombed.
I mean, indeed, they're beyond scared now. They're absolutely terrified. We had a heavy night of bombardment around the southern suburbs in particular last night, going on until all hours of the morning. Families received evacuation orders that they were to leave their homes in some parts of Beirut within the hour, and so were pulled out of their children were pulled out of their beds at 2 in the morning to seek safety and to move to anywhere that was not within the location identified in the evacuation orders. So what we're seeing as a result is thousands of people who are now moving onto the streets and are seeking safety just with the blankets, the clothes on their backs, really desperate, without food or water. And some of them have been there for several days since the bombardment started last week. On Friday, for example, we saw a massive blast that shook the entire city. And this is a country that has been traumatized by the Beirut blast in 2020, which destroyed huge parts of Beirut. So really a very, very terrifying situation for populations right across the country, especially in the last 12 days.
Now, the government and the people in control of Beirut, they're opening up schools. They're trying to make some sort of shelter available to people. However, that is probably changing on an hourly basis. What place is safe and what is not?
Exactly. It's barely possible to keep up with the numbers, Pat, at the moment. Now we have over 800 shelters that have opened. We think that more than 600 of these are already full because we have basically a million people who've been impacted by this. So we're seeing hundreds of thousands of people on the move. So we're opening shelters and schools, and we're supporting the government as much as we can. But it's really impossible to keep up with the level of need because there's just so many people needing assistance. We think that currently there's over 350,000 children who are in acute need of everything from water, healthcare, food, not to even mention their education.
Yeah.
This morning we have UNICEF teams who are out meeting some of these children and providing them with the clothes that they need. But tragically, these are the children that have been able to flee. Last night there was a heavy bombardment on the largest Palestinian camp in the south of Lebanon, in Ain El Helwe. And we saw the death, tragically, of seven people, and three of those are children that were enrolled in UNICEF's programs, psychosocial support programs, education and early learning programs. Small children that have absolutely no place, that's safe for them currently. And
what were the Israelis claiming was the reason for attacking such a camp?
We are not aware of reasons that were given. As UNICEF, our role is to make sure that all of the very vulnerable children in the country have access and are protected and have a safe space to live. So what is happening is children are getting caught up in a political crisis that has been a failure to find diplomatic solution. And the conflict has just continued to escalate just over the last 2 weeks. This is why we're seeing huge bombardment of infrastructure. As UNICEF, we've been working here on the ground for many decades, across Palestinian camps, working with over a million Syrian refugees that are here for over a decade that fled the conflict. And now I can tell you, Pat, that unfortunately, over 25 of these key water pumping stations that supply water to hundreds of thousands of people have been destroyed. So we're going to have Lebanon was already in a humanitarian crisis. So we're going to have a severe humanitarian crisis.
I'm just trying to figure out what possible acceptable rationale Israel can offer for destroying water pumping stations. I mean, this is it certainly on the face of it would seem like punishing a civilian population for something that the civilian population has nothing to do with.
Well, unfortunately, this is incumbent upon the international community to find a solution for this political crisis. The children, as we see, are paying the ultimate price. And currently we have teams that are in the hospitals across the country who are deploying extra medical supplies. But even our teams are at risk over the 24-hour period and during the weekend. It's not just water infrastructure, it's also hospitals. We had 5 hospitals that were damaged, including in places where we had supported neonatal intensive care units, where we had set up baby-friendly hospitals. And these are also key infrastructure, not just the water that is being damaged. So what we're hoping is that, a long overdue ceasefire is declared as soon as possible, because should the situation in Lebanon continue to deteriorate, they will have far-reaching consequences beyond this country that has borne so much over the last number of years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect you to comment on the politics of all of this, but according to the reports, when they bombed the refugee camp, the Ain al-Hilwa refugee camp, they claimed it was housing the home of a brigadier general in the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade. That's the excuse. But, you know, everyone has only one life, and they feel to get one individual, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't get one individual, they can take the lives of children. I mean, it's just utterly morally reprehensible.
I mean, our team are really devastated by this news this morning, but also by all the other children that have been killed over the past, since the beginning of the conflict. It's now more than 100 children have been killed and many more injured. And we suspect that that number will rise as well, given that many children have not been rescued from under the rubble. So the level of destruction is really increasing by the day. But in the meantime, it's UNICEF's job to stay and to deliver for the, as many up to 1 million people who've been displaced across the country, and to provide them with their urgent needs in a massively under-resourced crisis. So we hope that, the children that passed away last night, that were killed last night in such a brutal way, this will be the end of it, because this needs to end, and it's long overdue, and children really deserve safety and protection. It's every child's right.
All right, Etty, look, thank you very much for reporting from Beirut. An appalling situation unfolding there, a catastrophe in the making, no water, lack of sanitation, obviously no shelter for so many adults and children, and so many people on the move from the onslaught by the Israelis. Thank you very much, Etty, for joining us. Now, also on the line, Fawaz Gurga is Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Fawaz, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what the Israelis have done, they've gone in, and it sounds very Putin-like, a limited operation, like a special operation that Putin quoted going into Ukraine. Is Israel likely to face a similar quagmire in southern Lebanon?
Well, Israel can never win a land invasion or incursion. Israel can never win. The United States can never win an asymmetrical warfare against a guerrilla force. This has been the historical pattern, whether it was in Iraq or Afghanistan. And as you know, Pat, for your own listeners, Israel invaded Lebanon twice in 1982 and 2006. and it had to retreat because of guerrilla warfare by Hezbollah and other Palestinian resistance groups. I think what we're seeing now, you see, it's very misleading to say it's a limited incursion. That's exactly what Israel said in Rafah, do you remember? Mm-hmm. And the Americans said it was going to be limited. I think what we are seeing in Lebanon, I hope I am wrong, we're seeing a similar pattern being played in Lebanon to that of Gaza. On average, what I really pay attention to, if you look at the casualty rate every day now, in the past 24 hours, the Lebanese Ministry of Health said 94 killed and 157 killed on average every day in the past 1 week or so. And that's exactly the same pattern that occurred in Gaza. And the war is escalating. And what Israel says continuously, it has been saying that, well, somehow Hezbollah embed itself with civilians. What Israel doesn't really say that it does not distinguish between civilians and combatants. In fact, the Israeli president at the beginning of the Gaza war, and this is part of the open record, he said there are no innocent civilians in Gaza. And for the Israeli army and the extremists, religious Zionist extremists, in fact, civilians are an open target. And you ask the UNICEF online to comment on the politics. Of course they can't, and they should not. But the reality is Israel is willing to kill hundreds of civilians in order to basically kill an operational commander. And that's by itself a war crime. And that's why Israel now is before the International Criminal Court accused of committing genocide. But what we are seeing in Lebanon is the beginning of a long war. And even though Israeli leaders now are celebrating jubilation about making really major advances, tactical advances, as you know, this will not be a mission accomplished for Netanyahu. Israel has started this war. Israel will never be able to end this war on its own terms if history is a guide. But in the meantime, of course, according to the Lebanese prime minister, this is the biggest displacement crisis in Lebanon's history. Lebanon, he said today, is in historic danger. So Israel will kill thousands of Lebanese, will destroy the infrastructure, will create a massive humanitarian crisis. And guess what? Full U.S. support, 100%. In fact, the Americans are on board. Last week, I don't know if your listeners remember, the Americans and the French called for a ceasefire, temporary ceasefire, mm-hmm. for 4 weeks and for a diplomatic solution. And the American had coordinated their call with the Israelis. And then when Netanyahu arrived at the United Nations to give his speech, he said, no, sorry, we made a mistake. And then the escalation started by killing the leader of Hezbollah, Nasrallah, and now almost all-out full war. So it's the beginning of a long, long, sadly tragic, devastating war.
Fawaz, I want to play a little clip, and you've heard this, but our listeners may not, of Netanyahu addressing the Iranian people directly, and I want you to analyze it for us. This is what he said.
I speak a lot about the leaders of Iran, yet at this pivotal moment, I want to address you, the people of Iran. I want to do so directly, without filters, without middlemen. Every day, you see a regime that subjugates you make fiery speeches about defending Lebanon, defending Gaza. Yet every day, that regime plunges our region deeper into darkness and deeper into war. Every day, their puppets are eliminated. Ask Muhammad Deif. Ask Nasrallah. There is nowhere in the Middle East Israel cannot reach. There is nowhere we will not go to protect our people and protect our country. With every passing moment, the regime is bringing you, the noble Persian people, closer to the abyss. The vast majority of Iranians know their regime doesn't care a whit about them. If it did care, if it cared about you, it would stop wasting billions of dollars on futile wars across the Middle East. It would start improving your lives. There are tens of millions of good and decent people with thousands of years of history behind them and a brilliant future ahead of them. Don't let a small group of fanatic theocrats crush your hopes and your dreams. You deserve better. Your children deserve better. The entire world deserves better. I know you don't support the rapists and murderers of Hamas and Hezbollah, but your leaders do. You deserve more. The people of Iran should know Israel stands with you. May we together know a future of prosperity and peace.
Fawaz, what is that all about?
Well, I mean, I think the context is very important, Pat, for your own listeners. This is a direct threat to the Iranian Islamic Republic. He made the threat also in his speech at the United Nations last week. He made it very clear there is no place in Iran that we cannot reach. And a more important announcement than the clip that you played to your listeners, Netanyahu over the weekend said, quote unquote, that Israel feels that this is a turning historical point. Israel now is trying to create a new system, a new order, which is really based is to destroy not only Iran's allies, but to go for the head of the axis of resistance, that's Iran. What really Netanyahu is all about is not Hezbollah. Netanyahu is very much interested in dragging Iran into all-out war with the Americans. And I see it coming. I mean, I think the Iranian regime now is really pressed between a rock, Israel devastating wars, not only against its allies, but against the Islamic Republic. And a hard place. It does not really want all-out war. The danger lies, Pat, not in Israel, what Israel does. Israel could not do what it does without really unwavering American support. If you really look at what the United States has been doing, the United States has about 50,000 additional troops now in the Mediterranean, nuclear submarines, massive naval force and air force, I mean, all kind of planes. So the U.S. is really planning that Iran could retaliate, and Israel is counting on the U.S. to come in. This is a very dangerous moment. I mean, Netanyahu keeps talking about the Islamic Republic and terrorism. Did he mention a word about Israel's military occupation of Palestine? Did he mention a word about his domination of the Palestinians? Did he mention a word about the root causes of the conflict? Did he mention a word about the largest prison in the world, that's Gaza? It's all about Iran, because what Netanyahu is trying to do is to divert attention from the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is that Israel's occupation of the Palestinian lands. If that ends, Iran will not be able to influence the region. And that's really what he does not address and does not really want to be talking about.
Now, he only has a month for this devilish plan to unfold, because once the American election happens, whether it's Donald Trump or Kamala Harris who's going to be the president in February, each of them can decide to do, and Joe Biden remains in power. And if he's annoyed with Netanyahu for making a fool of him so many times, I mean, he doesn't care about re-election once the election is over, re-election for his party, or indeed for Donald Trump. Once it's over, he can pull the plug.
Oh, Pat, I wish you had been right. I think we're really missing the big picture. Netanyahu could do anything, and no American president will ever publicly go against Israel. If you look at it's not about what the president say and official. Look at the arms. Israel now has so much arms. In fact, the United States has, the New York Times was boasting the other day that Israel has ammunition and arms to last it for several years to fight all its enemies. That's what the United States has been trying to do. I mean, tens of billions of dollars, and neither Biden nor Harris nor Trump will ever basically take on Netanyahu. This is the reality. And the international community, where is the international community? The reality is, in fact, I had a piece in the New York Times today, an article in New York Times. I said that the United States is not a true friend of Israel, has never been a friend of Israel, because it has turned Israel into a military fortress. In fact, it has deepened Israel's structural problems. Instead of reconciliation with the Palestinians, instead of being a good citizen, instead of really coming to terms with the reality of the regions, Israel now acts like an imperial power, not only wants to defeat the Palestinians, to subjugate the Palestinians and defeat Hezbollah, it's taking on Iran. I mean, Iran, 100 million people. Imagine. and with the full support of the United States. The big question about Iran, and I think you'll see in the next few years, this what's happening today will most likely motivate Iran to become a nuclear power. What Israel is doing now is laying the ground for a nuclear Iran. And that's the danger, because Israel is already a nuclear power. It has more than 100 nuclear devices. If I were in Tehran today, if I am in Tehran, I would say the only way to protect my national interests, the only way to respond to Netanyahu is to develop a deterrent force, a nuclear force. Everyone loses in this particular situation. So it's the moment now is more escalation, more humanitarian crisis, more refugees, more children are being killed. And for what? That's the question. At the end of the day, Israel can never win this particular war without really a resolution of the Palestinian question. This vicious cycle could last for another 50 years.
Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Fawaz, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.